From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. How you doing this fine Thursday afternoon? Depending on where you are in the state, certainly hope that you are battening down those hatches, as they say. Good bit of weather coming through. We're going to keep you updated here as some of that inclement weather rolls through. Hail already coming down on Madison's west side. So if you're in the WMDX listening area, please be safe out there. Be aware. We're going to keep you posted. Columbia and Sauk counties now reporting a tornado warning. Again, folks, please be very aware of what's going on weather-wise in your area. Got a lot of activity across the state of Wisconsin. Welcome, welcome wherever you may be. Hope you're safe. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got a couple of great guests today, a number of them. We're going to be joined by my colleague Greg Gunderson at the bottom of this hour for a little bit of what's going on in your neck of the woods. We got the Center for American Progress Fund, Jeremy Janine from Milwaukee as a microcosm joining us. We've also got Tiffany Shawno that's going to join us at 5:30. She's the founder of Learn in My Shoes. We're going to talk about what parents have to do to make up for, frankly, some of the federal funding failures when it comes to student education. But right now, not only do we have some breaking weather news, which is pretty incredible, I think we've got Mace Michaels on the line. Hey, Mace, is that you? Let's get a little weather update, shall we? Hi.
Yes. Hello. Hi. A number of warnings here across the state. The line of storms extends from south of Madison, where there's been some inch and a half size hail now reported near the Fitchburg area, with severe thunderstorm warnings, including the city of Madison, to a tornado warning up closer to Baraboo. No tornado reported yet, but there's rotation south of Reedsburg. Additional warnings up along 94 through Mauston, up to Toma and Sparta, with severe thunderstorm warnings in those cities. And then warnings extend from there with a pretty intense hail near the Black River Falls area. A tornado warning includes Eau Claire right now, with some one-inch hail reported, and the line of storms from there extends all the way on up through Balsam Lake and Amory. Tornado warnings continue for eastern Polk County until 4:15. So this is a nasty little healthy line of storms that is already from eastern east central Minnesota through west central Wisconsin, again from Balsam Lake and Amory down to Madison, producing hail, producing some wind damage, and even several funnel clouds reported earlier on too.
Wow, that is Mace Michaels of Severe Studios, a meteorologist with them. Mace, anyone need to take shelter right now? Anybody need to be on the lookout for that in our listening area that you're aware of?
Sure. If you're in the Madison area, you have to be watching out for the cell that's moving through from east of Fitchburg over towards Oregon and up through downtown Madison right now. That severe thunderstorm warning that is out for central Dane County continues until 4:30. Again, inch and a half size hail reported in Fitchburg. Also, Baraboo included along with the Dells in a tornado warning. So if you're in that area near Sauk City up through Baraboo, head to shelter. And then also up on the network in the Eau Claire area, a tornado warning in and around Eau Claire. There's been one-inch size hail reported, but then again, also the potential of rotation close to the city of Eau Claire. So those would be the areas I'd be most concerned with, and north of Amory, too. Don't want to leave that out. That cell actually has produced several tornadoes from earlier on.
All right, folks, you heard it from Mace Michaels, a Severe Studios meteorologist. Thanks so much. Do give us a call back, Mace, if there are further developments. Folks, if you're in Amory, the Eau Claire area, Madison area, please be safe out there. Keep your radios tuned in here to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll keep you up to date with all the breaking weather news. Mace, you take care out there too, my friend. Thank you.
Sure, we'll do. We'll keep you posted.
Thanks much. Folks, it was Mace Michaels of Severe Studios, a meteorologist. Very appreciative of that news update. We also have some other breaking news at this hour. Apparently, Milwaukee police officers with shields and weapons drawn have rushed into the Zeidler Municipal Building. This is the building that is across the street from Milwaukee City Hall. It houses a number of city departments. I'm getting information from a number of my sources that apparently shots were fired somewhere in the waterworks floor of the municipal building. Again, this is the Zeidler Municipal Building. If you are on the Water Street area near Kilbourne, near that area, near Red Arrow Park, my suggestion, folks, is please stay away from that area of downtown. This is also right next to the BMO Tower that went up, that new big, beautiful building downtown. Apparently, some of my police sources are telling me no one has been shot. The suspicion is that this may have been a possible fired employee of the water department. Nothing confirmed yet. That is the best that I've got from my sources. Again, we will keep you updated on that as the news breaks this afternoon. Again, folks, if you're just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wanted to provide some other, maybe not breaking this instant news, but other news of the day. Just saw as I was getting ready to come on air with each and every one of you that the state of Florida is now the second state in the union to ban fluoride in drinking water. That is a topic for a whole nother day. I guess all I have to say about it is a groan. Really? In other news also, this was from yesterday. We didn't have time to get to it, but it is incredibly important to note for the broader discussion that we're going to engage in this afternoon. Yesterday, a federal judge in Virginia ordered the immediate release of Georgetown University fellow Dr. Badar Khan Suri from ICE detention. The court ordered that there be no conditions, no bond, no restrictions, no limitations, again, no conditions on the immediate release. The person was to be released immediately. The government provided no new information in court related to, in other words, the government provided no evidence in court to support their naked, bald allegation that this fellow from Georgetown University was somehow affiliated with Hamas. This is important. It cues up our discussion today. I wanted to begin, of course, with the discussion of Judge Hannah Dugan's indictment yesterday, which was followed immediately thereby by her legal team filing a motion to dismiss the entire criminal complaint and indictment outright. I'm going to get into some of the merits of that, but I wanted to share with you all these facts before we start delving into a bit of what Judge Dugan's lawyers argued in the motion to dismiss the indictment entirely yesterday. As many of you know, if you have been listening to the show for some time, I am the former corporation counsel for Milwaukee County. That's the fancy term for I was their chief legal officer. I handled all of these civil legal matters for Milwaukee County in that job for over 7 years. My office was in the county courthouse on the third floor down on one end. We had a suite of offices. I have been in almost every courtroom in the county courthouse, including the courtroom in which Judge Dugan presided until her, I'm going to call it, unconstitutional arrest a few weeks ago. The physical layout here is really, really important. And so when we get into some of these discussions, which I hope you'll engage with me, 855-752-4842, what the government is alleging, you have to gut check it with, well, does that even hold water when you know what the physical space looks like? And I'm here to tell you, it just doesn't. The door, to refresh your recollections, if you all don't remember, the core allegation that is the basis for these two criminal charges against Judge Dugan, which are basically obstructing and then hiding or concealing someone, concealing a person from arrest, that's under 18 U.S. Code 1071, and obstruction of proceedings. It really strains even the most sort of Trump-friendly interpretation of these statutes. This, both of those charges depend on this claim that Judge Dugan was committing a crime when she directed this man who was appearing in her court to exit her courtroom out of a side door and down a hallway. Now, I'll grant you that that might sound a wee bit nefarious on its face. But ladies and gentlemen, here's the deal. If you are standing outside Judge Dugan's courtroom, the main entrance to her courtroom, if you're standing right in front of it, the door that the defendant came out of is 6 feet to the right. That's the door that, literally, it's if you are standing in between the doors, you could almost shake hands with someone coming out of each set of doors. They're that close together. And I want to get into, in this first half hour of the show, the arguments that Judge Hannah Dugan's legal team has put forward in the motion to dismiss. And I rarely do this on the air, but on occasion, I will give myself some credit. And this, my friends, is one of those instances. And the reason I'm going to give myself a little bit of credit here is because, of course, the fact that on the day that Judge Dugan was indicted, I said to you that the indictment will fail, not indicted, that the criminal complaint was filed pending the indictment, which was delivered yesterday by a federal grand jury. I made two arguments to you about why this case will never result in a guilty verdict. And the first argument was that state court judges control their courtrooms absolutely. They are basically kings within their courtrooms. So who goes where, when, and why? All of that completely within a state court judge's purview, without exception, without investigating why they did things the way that they did. That's just what a state court judge gets to do. And the second argument I made to you that day, that Friday, Good Friday, a few weeks back, was that the 10th Amendment prohibits the federal government from pursuing these charges at all, because by extension, the 10th Amendment prohibits the federal government from mucking about in a state government's application and supervision of its own criminal codes and statutes. The 10th Amendment, recall, is the thing that says anything that's not explicitly listed in our Constitution as a federal power is a power reserved to the state. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my friends, would it surprise you that Hannah Dugan's motion to dismiss is based on two arguments? Ah, yes, that state court judges have absolute control over everything that goes on in their courtrooms, and they are immune from any prosecution or any interference with those decisions. And secondly, the 10th Amendment prohibits this prosecution. Apparently, I know as much as a former U.S. Solicitor General and a former U.S. Attorney. We're going to discuss that motion to dismiss when we come back. Join us, 855-752-4842. We'll keep you apprised on breaking weather news and the developments at the Zeidler Building. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.